Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful for everyone who has tuned in to us in the past, who will do so this evening on this December 7th, 2021. And for the opportunity, again, to be with each and every one of you. Whether you are joining us on Facebook Live, in our group on the BFC Institute, or on the Blog Talk Radio platform. Welcome. The number to call is 657-383-0944. Again, in the studio tonight, 657-383-0944. For the last couple of decades, we've heard a good deal of conversation about being tough on crime all across America. In reality, not much has been done about it. Nothing to remedy the root cause of criminal behavior, particularly when it comes to urban America. Now, in our country, around our nation, it seems that we have polarization. People have taken various positions in recent history, in the most recent history. We've seen this exemplified largely in the summer of 2020. Some people's minds, they can eye a criminal from a mile away just by certain characteristics. They can discern, they would argue, that they have criminal intent in their heart and in their mind. Isn't that amazing? So even this very serious issue of crime has become so politicized that few people are able to do anything proactive and productive about it. So join me tonight, your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, as we engage in an instructive conversation here about some effective measures. I don't suggest that I have all the answers, but I want to talk about some things that I'm confident would be very, very useful to everybody that uses them to address criminal behavior and the elements that we see characteristic to urban American cities. Our topic, the cure, to urban American crime. You see a lot of it, don't you? Rampant. We're just going to address that tonight as our topic on this December the 7th, 2021. Time is getting away from us. Y'all know that. I keep telling y'all that every time. Every time you hear me, I tell you, time getting away from you. You don't believe me, just look at the date. Look at the date. But we're grateful for where we are today and the opportunities we have ahead of us. The cure to urban American crime. Romans, the 13th chapter. And I'd like to bring to your attention this evening verses 1 through 4. Because the Apostle Paul, in his conversation with the church at Rome, laid out some very, very important things relative to crime and law and order and the perception of who's in charge and who has the ability to tell somebody else that they're criminal. All right? Look, just follow me if you will. Verse 1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For these are no power, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Verse 2 says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resists the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? And do which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Lastly, 4, for he is the minister of God, and to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, and revenger to execute wrath on him that does evil. Tells us, admonishes us to recognize is that even God has an order. And what you'll find is, as we go through and try to define a few terms here, such as crime and law and things of that nature, is that the concept of crime that we have in society today, in the legal lexicon of American jurisprudence, I would argue is based in this basic concept here that I'm trying to intimate to you. And that is that there is an order. And among us, our people, all of us should be our own police to one another, to hold one another accountable, such that there will be order. That is the essence and the discipline of Elohim, God, the creator of the universe. All right? Now, let's look at these terms. You can find them in, again, the lexicon of jurisprudence here in America. Particularly, you can find it in a dictionary, Google it or whatever you want to do. But particularly, I want to look at what Black's Law Dictionary defines it. That's a pretty well-known standard of definition, okay, in the court system and so forth and so on. Now, let's talk about what crime is just for a second. I hope you give me a call, 657-383-0944. Yeah, you know how we do it. I want y'all to, come on, get in here where you fit in here. You understand? All right. So what is law, doctor? What is law? Well, injustice is a system of rules for a particular society. Break that down into maybe a country, a nation of people, maybe a state, right? A little community, municipality, a county, right? And what it does is it recognizes regulations that are set forth to manage everyone that are members of those groups or those communities, those nations, their actions, right? They're designed to prescribe the enforcement of some sort of recognition stop, some penalty to ensure that everybody remains in order. So if everybody's allowed to do whatever they want to, you don't have law. You don't have order. You have chaos. What laws are designed to do is to offer some measures by which everyone can be held to account. Now, if you're not the person that's causing a problem in your neighborhood or your community, you're not the cause of friction and tension, then those laws really don't have anything to do with you. You got nothing to worry about. You got nothing to worry about. But if you're the reason that those that are charged with maintaining and upholding the law have to come to you, understandably, you should be looking over your shoulders. I can relate to that, having grown up in the city of Chicago. I can appreciate how that goes, right? Okay. So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about laws. And what we want to understand is the cure, urban American crime. So to get there, we got to understand how one commits a crime, what constitutes a crime. All right? That takes me to my next point here, and that is, what is crime? Some would argue that is unfair. The meaning, definition, application of determining crime is unfair. Let's get to it. In jest, crime is any unlawful act on part of an individual or individuals that reside within a community. Interestingly enough, Black's Law Dictionary defines a citizen as a member of a political community. You live in a community. There are rules and regulations, right? And when an individual violates those rules and regulations, whether they do it intentionally or unintentionally, knowingly or unknowingly, what they do is set themselves up for whatever punishments that are prescribed by individuals who represent that body of people in the legislative body. They become the authority, very much like the text was talking about, the ruler, the government, all right? We have in the United States means by which we can hold a government accountable as well to the people that they give, that they receive consent from to govern. There's no simple or universal definition, I don't believe, that we can find in terms of statutory definitions of various crimes. In fact, you know that part of the American social experiment, and even with the Constitution, is that every state, the 10th Amendment, allows every state its own autonomy and authority to define its laws for its citizens. So we have 50 different mini experiments, I would argue, about what the law is and what are statutes to govern people. And you go from one state to another, you just need to be aware that the laws may vary. Many of them are the same, but some of them may vary. What you can do in one, you may not be able to do in another. You understand what I'm saying? But it's important to understand that crime is defined as whatever has been prescribed as the rule and order for that society, that community, that state. If I or you or anyone else violates that, we're committing the crime. There are various levels and degrees of crime, yes, yes. I understand that, felonies and misdemeanors and things of that nature. There are a lot of good people who would argue, though, that because of their social experience and upbringing and even their economic plight and circumstances that have affected their lives directly, that they don't feel as though they are a welcomed, cherished, and respected member of their local community. And therefore, they're justified in breaking whatever rules and regulations have been set there by the people. Now, these are not just young folk that think this way. But it's some old folk that do that. There's some old folk that engage in this type of backwards, reckless behavior that leads to mayhem, distrust. Now, in urban America, what happens is because you are concentrated in one area with high density population of people, very few places for you to go. If you rob somebody, you assault somebody, you get in a fight with somebody, chances are it's going to be somebody that's a close neighbor to you. Where do you have to run? You understand what I'm saying? What we want to do is understand how we can cure this. That's the goal. So, Dr. E, who is it that you're talking about that's committing crimes? And you'll find tonight that I'm not going to put a name and call no name to replace no blame. But what we're describing is behavior. Did you hear that? I am describing behavior characteristics. What I do and what you can do and what others should do is to look at the behaviors and ask themselves, am I guilty of that? And if so, what must I do to change? See what I mean? Are you with me? All right. So who commit crimes? Individuals who decide, for whatever reason, that their interest in a certain behavior pattern or situation or circumstances justifies their actions that are in direct objection to the will of the majority of the people. Say that again, doctor. What is a crime? Who commits crime? Individuals who decide that their interest in engaging in certain behaviors under certain circumstances, it justifies their actions that are in direct objection to the will of everybody else that live around them. They're selfish. No consideration. Anybody but what I want right now. There are people who have struggled a long time and they feel like now it's time. I see everybody living the American dream. I want some of that. I guess to have it. And whatever I got to do to get it. You know, there's a phrase in the street, get it the way I live. You understand what I'm trying to say. All right. So where does crime take place? Is this everywhere in America? It can be. Is this just restricted to one ethnicity? No, it isn't. Remember what we said, that whatever the rules and regulations and laws that are prescribed, written down, codified on the state level, on the local level, on the municipality or county level, right, or even on the United States, those are laws. We have them for a reason. No matter who you are, if you violate them, you're criminal. That's criminality. Does crime, where Dr. E, do you see it? You know, y'all know what, just look at the news media. Huh? And when we look at the definition and we see the behavior, ask yourself, where do you see it happening? Is it outside your door? Is it on your local streets? Huh? Are you guilty? Are your loved ones guilty? You understand what I'm saying? Don't make them a bad person. We're looking at the behavior right now, okay? When we think about the motivations for it, there are a lot of reasons why people engage in these behaviors that are geared toward their own interests directly. A lot of times they would argue that, man, that's the way we grow up. That's how we do it. I had a pissed off life, and, man, I want somebody else to feel my pain. I ain't got no money. My change is strange. My dollar's short. My change is strange, man. You understand what I'm saying? And look, I don't feel like it. I don't want to talk to nobody. I don't want to get along with nobody. I just want to get what I get. What makes me want to go rob somebody? Take a weapon and take another life. The mission of that robbery. Some people say, hey, I get to do what I want to because they have political inequities and some people have power and others don't. So I exercise my power by taking what I want. Well, that's what I take what I want. I had a bad education, can't read, can't write, and they won't give me a job. And you understand what I'm saying? There's all these things factor in. See what I mean? Does that justify it? No, it does not. Because what you do, you create an environment where just because you want to meet your will, the next man or the next woman may not be going for that. And everybody, beloved, is not about to accept being a victim of criminal behavior. No matter who you are. This is how it affects urban America directly, though. Whenever one or more people engage in these actions that I just described and may lead to friction within that commune, leads to disorder, threat, and harm to that community. See, those communities are made up of families. And I'm going to get to the meat of what I'm talking about in just for a second. You're likely to find unrest, violence, and anarchy. Here is the thing. The cure to the crime, to the characteristics of certain behaviors, is families. Restoring healthy, productive families. Okay, Dockery, what you mean by that? Let me go back to Black's Law Dictionary again and define family in its original sense. In its context, the law. Now it's been redefined a lot of, and applied in different ways politically and socially and even economically. Okay, but the reality is that a father and a mother that is the voice of authority for their children, their offspring, rear them in the legal and social expectations of an orderly society. And they, in turn, become productive citizens. You notice I said a father, didn't I? I know that the reality is we have more single-parent headed homes. I get that. We have more divorces. I get that. Everybody didn't have a perfect life. I get that. Beloved, if we want to cure this problem, listen to me right now. What we ought to be thinking about is how can we make a beeline to the restoration of the family? Malachi, the fourth chapter, sixth verse said, until the hearts of the fathers are returned to the hearts of the children, and the hearts of children return to their fathers, the earth will be smote with a curse. I would argue that that's our problem today. And the cure to the curse, to reversing the curse, is fathers being back in homes and the lives of their children. Be no need anymore for police and be no need for social workers and all these other folks. That's what God, Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God of creation, designed it that way. He knew what he was doing. He wasn't drunk. He knew exactly what he was doing. Just, okay, all right, all right. You understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to talk about the cure. Now, we can sit around here and play around, and we can talk crazy all day, and we can pitly-patty, and you understand what I'm saying? If you ain't gonna get, you ain't gonna never get nothing done. But we've been talking about it for years. That's what I started out saying. Been talking about this for years. But there are people who are not serious about changing their own behaviors. I'm not talking about the babies right now. I'm talking about the great grown folk. They don't want to change. So they're modeling destructive behaviors that lead to violence, anarchy, unrest, and everything else. It's just like a big playground where a bunch of chronologically grown folk and even smaller young folk are out there with no supervision. None whatsoever. Anything is subject to happen. I submit to you, as we prepare to go to the phone line, 657-383-0944. Call me. Call me right now. Pick the phone up. You listening? You watching? Pick the phone up. It's okay. It's all right. I know I'm fathead and ugly, and I'm very opinionated, but I want to hear you. You may be able to correct me where I'm wrong. 657-383-0944. I submit to you humbly, respectfully, that in part the solution involves looking at these triggering experiences in these urban neighborhoods, on these blocks, in these streets. Need I call the name of Chicago, Nashville, Detroit, St. Louis, New Orleans? Do I have to say Philadelphia? Must I tell you the names of these places? You see them. We see them. It's real. The struggle is real. But if we can isolate this behavior in these triggering environments, guess what we can do? We can cause a form of stop. And you notice I didn't say necessarily the police, but I'm talking about people policing one another, right? We can build the type of support using our churches and other institutions like that where people can come and take a minute to time out. Kind of be like a respite, if you will, like a hospital in a sense, right? You understand what I'm saying? That's one proper use, possible use. We should have focus and deliberate redirection of young people when they look yehu, when they knee high to a duck's behind, what old folk used to say. Huh? You start then properly directing them. But now I understand that if the mama and the daddy don't know that, the daddy and the mama don't know that, they can't teach the child that. Well, then let's lovingly, respectfully, respecting that they're parents, let's engage them, preachers. Let's tell them what thus said the Lord God. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart. Let's tell him what God said. Better rod, spoil the child. I'm not talking about just physical punishment, but I'm talking about the rod of instruction being modeling discipline, being a modeling of the behavior that you expect of them. All right? Be deliberate about that. Family that makes up neighbors, that make up the neighborhood. Y'all done heard me say it before. Circumstances are such that the neighbor has been run clean out of the neighborhood. Help us, Holy Ghost. There's no room for neighbors, neighborly interaction in many places. People are afraid. They don't know what you're going to do. They don't know who the next person to jump off and go crazy. Understandably so. How can we fix this doctrine? Well, I would submit to you that part of it, again, is focused on revitalizing the family. Anybody who is opposed to a healthy, viable family is not interested in solving crime. They're not vested in curing this social ill, this problem. It's a problem, yes. And many people are affected by it, yes. But there's a cure to it. There's a cure to it. Do you want to fix it? Are you interested in change? If you are, holler at me. Specified training. Huh? In preparing people to control the quality of life for them, their loved ones, their children. Listen, beloved. If we did that, this is the cure that I'm talking about. That's what I'd like to talk with you about tonight. 657-383-0944. Listen, it's not over. Just because little Sammy runs out there and clowns and across the bridge with somebody, across the path with somebody and engage in inappropriate behavior, it's not over for him. Well, what do we do with him? Do we throw him out with the bathwater? No, that's not what we do. You know, if you had to, take little Sammy and take him around the back. Don't do this in a way that's going to character down and just demean him. That's what makes a lot of young folk act out, because they done already been hurt. And then you coming to them, you're supposed to be representing their hope, and you talking crazy to them. Now, you know that dog ain't going to hunt. That ain't going to do no good either. That's not how we do it. So I just want to start with, if I could, just for a few seconds, this is me. Y'all, you know what I'm saying? Reverend James Moore, young man, gone on to glory now, but he, his particular song stays with me all the time, and I love it. He says it well, and basically he says, how I love Jesus. Let me tell you something. Part of helping a family is having faith in God. Listen to him just for a second. 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. To listen to Talk Straight, this is your host, Reverend Dockery. I think I got my good friend on, my co-host, Pastor Ricky Wallace. In case you didn't know, listen. What's that name, Jay? Yeah, what's that name, man?
I love you.
Huh. Why? Why is that? In my ear. Uh-huh. Just bear with me, Brother Christian. Just bear with me. Ah. Talk, son. Just a few minutes. Y'all bear with me. You listen to Talk Straight. This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Doctor. I just want to share something with y'all. Listen to him.
We'll proclaim. It sounds like
I knew that. But, you don't mind if I just give him a little bit more time, do you? You don't mind, do you? That's why.
No.
Okay, all right. Just one second. Listen at him. Hello, Jay. That's it. Stop, doctor. Before you test something up. Listen, you listen to Talk Straight. We on live now. It's hot and popping. The cure to urban American crime. Pastor Wallace. Tell me why, sir, I would be wrong to think that if a young person or old person loved Jesus and they got the love in their heart, that will cure a lot of things, won't it? No, maybe I'm wrong. Help me with that, big brother.
Well, I mean that's something that's available.
Yeah.
You know, it's just about how to get connected with me.
Let me ask you this. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
One would find out, you know, what it's like to love Jesus then. That's the key. So a lot of people don't know how good it is to have a taste of it, you know. And if a person ever have that divine connection to be activated, that's gonna change a person's life.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, now, so I've been talking about the cure, and I've been talking about understanding the text that we read in Romans, Brother Preacher, where Paul describes how authority is given by God. Are you with me? In Romans, the 13th verses 1 through 4, he describes how it's God that gives man authority to do anything.
Yeah.
You with me? And some of my beloved people are, they're offended by law and order and by authority because they feel like, hey, that don't suit me. That don't fit me. You ain't talking about me. Let's talk about that for a second, Pastor. Is it the case that we should shun discipline and order? Or help me with that, Brother Preacher.
Anytime the Lord gives you authority, it's like giving you a victory over the enemy. And start receiving and accepting it. When one don't do that, to worship who they are used to worshiping. And that's the thing. That's the only difference by choosing this day who one would serve. And by it being that he gives you authority, I was just glad to get it once I got it. You know, I know that I can have the authority over what I used to do. And had it not been for that, I would have still been doing it.
I see.
Because that's all I knew. But that's what change is about.
Giving
you the authority over the power of the enemy, because he has power.
Right.
That's why we need to get power from the ones who have more power than he has.
And
I in the world, I don't have it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm so glad you're here. I want to placate off of you. Now, you are the author of two powerful books. We've heard about it here, Still High and The Flip Side. And you described how you were one of those people who lived by a certain order in the streets. However, God saw fit to show you how that order was out of order, and you need to change the order of operation. Are you with me, Pastor? Are you there? Stay with me now. Stay with me. Because what young cats think we're talking about is pie-in-the-sky stuff, reading stuff out of the Bible that they don't understand. I want to break this down just like they're 3 years old and speak like we do on the block, Pastor Waller, and explain that if you want success in life, right, there are certain things that you have to work toward, just like you got to work toward the negative things. If you want positive, productive things, you got to, do you have to put work in, Pastor? Is that right?
You have to.
Okay. Talk to me about that. Talk to me about that.
Well, even during the end, it's weird. There's order.
Uh-huh.
There's order. You know, I used to walk in it, so I know there's order, and it's weird.
Okay.
Had it not been for the flip side, I would have never been able to write Still High.
I
so
see.
I understand the power of what the people are dealing with. That's why it's good to take the gospel to the streets.
Uh-oh.
You know, because there are people that don't know. They don't know what's happening. And, mm-hmm. and you know, it's like for me to blame them, it would be hypocritical and detrimental to me, you know, because I know that I once upon a time was walking in the order of the enemy,
mm-hmm.
of the devil. You know, he had full control of my life at one time. And I understand that now. So there's
mm-hmm.
a lot of people that don't understand the power
right.
of being entrapped, the power of being captured, the power mm-hmm. of doing the enemy's will. You know, Paul said it like this. He says,
what is that?
If I do that, I would not. It's no longer I that do it. You know, it can't be bad in me. So he's letting it be known that I found out the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing is because I don't have power and the authority over it. But he did say, you know, oh, wretched man I am, who can deliver mm-hmm. me from this? You know, and so he realized that he needed to be delivered from that where he had the authority, you know, that was given to him. And
right.
he started walking in it. Thing about it, once you have the authority, just start walking in it, and you'll see mm-hmm. the difference. And that's what a lot of people don't know how to do. And I'm serious about they don't know how to do it. So somebody got to go out there and demonstrate.
I see.
You know?
I see. Okay.
And it'll
okay.
be a lot better, man, because the kids they're out of control to another level.
They are, and that's what I started by talking about, Pastor. Now. We can say crime and we can label people as criminals and what have you. But if we don't address the real issue, and that is why are individuals behaving in a certain manner? You understand what I'm saying? And how can we change their life in such a way that not us, but they will change their behaviors? Are you with me? That's the key right there. See, I talked about Malachi, the sixth chapter and the fourth through the sixth verse, where the Bible, what God is saying, that if fathers are not in place in the lives of children, that there's going to be a curse on the earth. And I will tell you, beloved, it sounds like that's where we are right now in 2021, going into 2022. It's a curse. It's a curse. They tell me, Pastor, that they picked up a young man, it wasn't even a young man, 11-year-old pastor in Chicago, and he has been associated with over 40 carjackings. 11-year-old, sir. You listen to what I'm saying, bro, preacher? 40 carjackings. How did that happen, Pastor? I mean, help me walk me through that now. I'm not even blaming the baby. He's just a baby. That's what he really is. How does that happen, Pastor, that 11-year-old has the time and opportunity and the motive to carjack 40-some people. Which, can you imagine? You understand what I'm saying?
He was introduced to it.
Ah, wait now. Uh-oh, you just said something like that. You're saying something now. You're saying something. He was what?
Yeah, he was introduced to it, and that's how it started.
I see.
You know, it's always a starting point, you know, to doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And but he didn't invent it because he's only 11. So they've been doing it for a while.
Correct.
And so being around and seeing others, you know, talk that talk and it look like they're having fun and
I see
you know like that is something that he said, well, I want to try that because it looks like they're having fun,
right?
But don't know the consequences to it, you know, and that's the reason why a lot of them out there are doing what they're doing. But there is a way to escape, but I like
correct
you have to be committed.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, it's a sad, when I say to another level sad situation that continues to go on because of the lack of concern from those who are supposing how good God is, who say that they know the Lord, they love the Lord.
Yes, sir.
You know,
yes, sir.
And if they said that and they meant that, then it'll be evidence to the people outside that's true, okay? So by the people inside the building not knowing or not willing to do what's necessary to step out there and show some concern, then they would increase. That's why the little 11-year-old kid doing the things that he's learning. He's learned how to do it even more. So from the first time, I don't know how many more times he has done it, but, you know, but the 11 times by itself is a lot.
I don't mean to beat the bass, Pastor, but when I was 11, I couldn't even pee on the seat right. You understand what I'm saying?
Hey,
I couldn't pee straight, man. Sir. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? I couldn't even pee straight.
Yes, sir,
a little long.
My goodness.
I'm just you're hitting you're making a good point. I got a call here from 678-74.
I'm just listening. You can mute me. I'm just listening. You can mute me. Please mute me. Thank you.
Absolutely. And so this is the point. When we see these things, there's a greater issue that needs to be addressed. And what I'm suggesting is when you look at these crime waves and what have you, and look at people's behavior. In regards to how we talked about this case study in Chicago, this 11-year-old, when they captured him, 40 different carjackings, right? And the point here is that you have individuals who want to talk about crime, but they're not interested in curing its root cause. And as I pointed out in the monologue earlier, when you think about it, what makes a crime is whatever your state or your local city says is a violation of a set of rules that are codified by those who are voting in to represent you. Now, there's a breakdown in communication there, isn't it? But I would argue that when fathers are absent from the equation, this little 11-year-old, man, I use myself as a personal reference. I know I couldn't pee on the seat straight, man. When he wake up in the morning, what's the first thing he does? You understand? Where does he wake up? You follow what I'm saying, Brother Preacher? Who feeds him? What kind of clothes is he wearing? Go ahead. We know where he is now. He's in a juvenile detention facility now, but prior to that, go ahead, Pastor. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's why they got him. That's why they got the count to up to 11 because they finally called him, right?
They got him. Yes, they finally caught him. Now, here's the sad part right here. Here's the part that I want my people to listen to right here. And this is what we all get real sore about, understandably. What if he caught the wrong person, the 41st person, and they took his life? Pastor, you there? You got somebody with you?
Yeah.
No, say that again for me, Pastor.
No, I asked the question. Suppose he caught the 41st person and they took his life.
Oh, man.
At 11 years old. You understand what I'm saying? And what I'm hinting at is the reason anybody that really care ought to be invested in curing crime. See, when the way you create a criminal is to create a trap. We talked about the, you know, the ghetto trap syndrome in here. Yeah. You create a trap. You create a situation or a scenario by which they can only operate in under certain parameters. And it's human nature to want to be free. Huh? It's human nature. Talk to me about that, preacher. Talk to me about that.
Let me share something about learning old unrighteous behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
11-year-old kid learn an old unrighteous behavior. It wasn't new. You understand?
Wow. Okay.
It was new to him because he did it one time.
That's right. When he first done it.
And all of a sudden, he started climbing. He would do it again. And I mean, that just, I know they said he did 11 of them. I don't know, but that's just the thought of it. I can only imagine had he not been caught, you know, after knowing that he's done 11, I don't think he would have just said, well, I'm just going to stop. Sometimes it's hard to stop something, man, when you get in the flow. You know? And like I said, it was an old habit.
Mm-hmm.
He just got caught up in the trap as well. That's been going on for a little while, and it's become more popular. And this is the thing about being able to escape from it. See, there's always an escape. He could right now escape at the young age of 11.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because now he's no longer on the street doing it.
Yeah.
And the right information with the right schooling, with the right, you know, input, I would say,
that
if you put that together, man, and he gets excited about knowing that, man, look here, you were just rescued, brother, because the next one you could have been in a situation that it may not have been like. You got called and they took you to jail, took you to the juvenile. And so the trap is real, and there's a way to escape. And this is what I want to make sure I share.
Okay.
The word says, and you shall know the truth.
Watch it now.
According to John 8:32.
And what it says?
If you don't get the truth, the truth will make you free.
Okay.
Once you get the truth, but you got to give. Person at 11 get the truth? Oh, man. I would love to be able to say, man, they getting the truth right now at the age of 11. But right now, man, the lies are taking them to another level.
He out of control. He was out of control. And watch this. Now, what I'm trying to say is, I'm trying to say this mildly and diplomatically, but the truth of the matter is right now, Pastor, right now, if you and I were to walk any of these city streets and find someone that we can tell that they're young. You understand what I'm saying? And they ain't got no business there, and we snatch them up. What would happen to us? Put us in jail, won't they?
Well, I think that's the move that they got going on now.
I'm going somewhere. And see, I'm not just mean to snatch them up and abuse them or do anything nefarious to them. I'm talking about take them off the street, and before we get home, take them to a fixed location where individuals are trained to process why that baby is not under parental supervision and authority. And what is the plan to get to whoever their custodial authority and parent is and get them in a position of responsibility? And I'm not just beating up on mama now, because that baby didn't get here by itself. Huh? Mama didn't get pregnant by herself. Listen, we talking straight tonight. Now, come on now. We're talking about kids crying.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah. So brothers, wherever you drop that seed, you need to go and do, you got work to do. You understand what I'm saying? Let's put it all where the squeak is tonight now. You see what I'm saying? Now, and I know that there are a lot of good brothers out there who want to be with their children, and there are systematic reasons they're not. I get that. At the end of the day, guess what? Our babies are out there. They're dying. They're getting caught up in the trap. And what are we going to do about that?
Amen.
What are we going to do about
Amen.
That?
Amen. You know, the solution is real. But
yes,
again,
sir.
I don't like giving credit where it's not due.
Okay.
Because
okay.
It's not fair. It's not fair to the kingdom of God system.
Okay.
You know, if people say they love God and they have the solution, they have the answer, and they don't show no concern or no compassion,
mm-hmm.
then I'm unable to give credit. Them
okay.
Because
well, ain't, let's don't give them
they
none.
Sound good. They sound
okay.
good in church. They look good. They got the language.
What?
And, you know, they're doing all. But,
I mean, you talking about church
word
folks?
Of God,
hold on, Chris.
Yeah.
You ain't talking about church folk, is it? I know you ain't talking about church folk, man.
See, that's what the solution and the answer is. Is inside the building. With
My
the,
God.
From what I learned, they have a book in there that has. Profound information in it. And you might say, how do you know it? I went in without a book, man.
Oh, man.
But somehow I tapped into it and I discovered
Uh-oh.
Something. I heard him speak.
Right.
And I heard him say it made me say, well, let me see then. Let me find out.
What's
you
up
know,
with
you say he's able. You say he's able. I'm only see because I know I'm not.
Okay.
And I can't break a bad habit, and
mm-hmm.
I just
mm-hmm.
I thank God for giving me a chance to get inside the building, you know,
uh-huh.
long enough to receive the authority, as we talked about earlier, to have the authority over the enemy. You understand? And I'm saying that everybody who have, for instance, let's say. Bad habit or addictions or whatever the
okay.
case may be.
Okay.
May not
okay.
have the same.
Right.
Remember, I said I had.
Okay,
I
get
all
you.
Those habits that I had that I don't do anymore. That makes me aware that man, it's because I got the power now over it.
Okay.
Now before I got the information, I didn't have that type of power over it, man. I had to do it, and that's where the people are today, and that's the reason why. Say that they should come out of them buildings because the man came out of the building, man, and he put a seed down, and I heard what he said. Even though I didn't go that week,
mm-hmm.
that following week, I didn't go that following mm-hmm. year. It
right.
was years before I went, but the joy is that he came out, man.
I see.
You know, and that's what it's about. You never know who's going to partake of the word
right.
until you go out. If you don't go out and put it out there, they're not going to be able to say, well, hey, I think they want to say something good to me. But
right.
look, but what are they? You know, like I said, I know this is the day that they say that they all went up in there, but when they dispersed up out of the building, where are they?
Hmm.
See, I am still doing the same thing. See, I was on the corner.
Okay.
Still doing the
okay.
same thing.
Sure.
So he couldn't
sure.
miss me.
Right.
And that's why
right.
I said, and the man came out and said something encouraging. And so eventually my life changed. So it's about going, taking it out there to the people. And there's
sure.
so many buildings, man, so many buildings everywhere that
Absolutely.
Have those Bibles in it, man. And I just,
I'm about to go there right now.
Okay.
I got St. Louis right. on the line with me, and a brother asked me to mute him. I'll check with him in a little bit here. But watch this, Pastor. And I'm coming right to you, St. Louis. Watch this, Pastor. Here's the deal right here. Now, I'm going to defrock myself for a second. I've been pastoring now going on 27 years. But right now, where we are in urban America is where we need to. I didn't say throw the Bible away. Listen to me carefully now. Close the Bible, set it to the side, and you go out there and be the representation of the word of transformation. If you can't do that, ain't no need to open no Bible talking to nobody, man. Huh? Those words are never going to change in there. But you have to be the transforming force for these shorties out here. All over. See, they ain't trying to hear nothing about what you're reading in the Bible anyway. You've got to represent that. You got to model that. You got to be an example of that. I'm talking about what we need to do, not just preachers, but daddies, daddies, daddies. Let's go get these daddies, and let's ask the daddies, man, what you need to do, man, getting back in, you know, you got some business. You got some unfinished business. We see that. We see you, you know, we see you, you know, we caught you with your clothes down. You understand what I'm saying? And we, this is what this crime problem is. If you want to cure it, let's put the oil where the squeak is. Now, let's not play with, St. Louis, welcome, sir. Welcome to the conversation. How you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing fine. I see that you never are short for problems to talk and tell.
It's, we got too many problems, big brother. I mean, am I wrong, St. Louis? I mean, ain't no crime, huh? You don't see no crime. Ain't no crime either.
Well, you know, it's not that you have too many problems.
Okay.
You don't have enough people who's knowingly enough in order to tackle those problems. That's what the problem is.
I see. Okay.
Problems are part of life. Nothing goes smoothly and desirable as one would want it. Problems have always been with life forms.
Okay. Okay.
If it's not with the ants where the water come in and go down in their holes, so they have to put things up in order to prevent that.
You have
a problem, as you mentioned, with crime. There's many as ways that can be addressed. Individual ways. But being that it's not simplistic, there has to be many individual ways overall working to solve the ultimate, and that's the crime.
Yes, sir. Agreed. And I agree with your point there. And here's the thing, though, and it has become politicized. People have used it as a weapon to bludgeon other folk and what have you. And I mentioned in the monologue that there's some individuals who would argue they can spot a criminal from a block away just by looking at you. You understand what I'm saying? Looking at what you got on and how you walk and your manner, and they can tell you're a criminal and that you got criminal intent in your heart. That's part of the problem. Well, here's the reality. I made the case earlier. We were talking about a young boy in Chicago that they caught finally. I'm glad they caught him before somebody killed him, really, personally. But they caught him. He done carjacked 40 people, man, 11 years old. And my point is, when I was 11, man, I didn't know how to pee in the toilet still without wetting the seat. You understand what I'm saying? I had to lift the seat to make sure I didn't wet the seat. What does he know? Just a baby. But he is a victim of a greater circumstance. And I'll start with the breakdown of the family. Where's his daddy? Where the boy daddy at? You understand what I'm saying?
You're absolutely right. You know, everything that's a problem has its beginning somewhere. And until you identify those beginnings, and until you appropriately deal with those beginnings, then you're not doing anything whatsoever.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I mean, see, some people, St. Louis and Pastor Waller and the brother there, they don't want to be honest, because I'm convinced, Pastor Waller, when preachers like me are honest, the cover get pulled off. Huh? Because it begs the question. It begs the question, with all the professed authority you have as a representative of God, why is it that you're not part of the solution? Brother Malcolm was right. If you're not part of the solution, invariably you're part of the problem. You stand around, you're just in the way, man. I mean, that's what we could ask ourselves. Not that you're a bad person, but you ain't no useful good to nobody, man, heaven or on earth. So just get out the way and let somebody who wants to and who's capable of resolving the issue do that. In reality, if we want to cure the urban crime, it can be done. It can be done. And it don't have to be done with guns. It don't have to be done with shields or any of that stuff. We can do it. See, these little babies out there, you know, I've driven around myself early in the morning, and I've watched them. And I've done that in several different cities that I've toured, and I've watched them. Ain't got no business out there. What they doing out there? Can't even pee straight. What you doing on the corner with a bag in your hand? Say what? Listen, some grown, musty rascal is using them babies to make money. Let's put the oil where the sweet is, man. They got them out there.
Well, you're absolutely right. And that needs to be a public display of punishment leveled down onto them. Yeah. It really should. Some people don't listen and learn from listening. They have to see and experience the demonstration.
Sure.
Other countries do that. How sacred is your child? So why would these people be using your child like that? Also, where is the parent? To become a parent, become an adult is a process. It's not something that you are granted, entitled to by reaching a certain age. And so the age keeps dropping the way we look at it. In St. Louis, a 2-year-old took a gun to school.
Actually,
second grade. Let me straighten that out. Second grade, but it's still a two.
Yeah, he's about five. He's about what? 7 years old? 6, 7 years old? What does he know, man? I mean, and that's my whole point. That's my whole point here. And I want to be therapeutic here. I want us to understand that if we don't tell the truth about what's really going on, see, I don't care what he's doing out there. If you are outside after a certain hour and you are a minor, there lies the problem. Where's your authority? Legally, where is the custodial authority in your life? Now, some would argue, take them away from the parents and put them in state custody so they can be warehoused there until they get big enough, and then you have to let them back out on the street, and all you've done is fed them frogs for snakes. You make them go lay down for 3 to 5 years, and they learn, they go in, and then they come out a criminal. I'm not sure that the penal institution is the answer alone, but there are things that, beloved, I'm convinced we should and we could do, put our heads together, see, and resources to make sure it happens. If I went right now, gentlemen, and I snatched a little rascal up, you know, they put me in jail, man. St. Louis wouldn't be able to hit me on Tuesday night no more, because they ain't going to let me run the show from the jail, St. Louis. You know what I mean? So it'd be over. It'll be over, man. But that's part of what needs to happen. So where are you going to put them, Doctor? Well, Pastor Wallace said it earlier. You got all this real estate. You got 5 to 10 churches on one block. Everybody said they want to go to heaven. They love the Lord, and they want to save souls. Perfect place to put them. Perfect place to spend a little time with them. And rather than have their mama come down to the police station, bring her down there, pray for her a little bit if you have to, you understand? Hold her hand, love her, tell her the Lord love you, and I do too. But we're going to have to stop this mess. Hey, maybe I'm wrong. I'm just saying. I'm come to you there, 678, just to see if you want to chime in here. I appreciate your patience there. Anything you want to say right now?
You can mute me back. I'm just
okay,
listening.
Just listen.
Please mute me because I'm at work. That's why. Yeah.
Okay, no problem. I got you. Appreciate you. But yeah, so gentlemen, this is what some people don't want the truth, Pastor. You just told me that Romans the 8th chapter and 32nd verse said you'll know the truth and it'll make you free. Some folks don't want to know truth. Now here's the truth. Ain't no need, excuse my English, St. Louis, for me running my mouth if I'm not willing to go the whole road, all the way. Just stay in the house, man. Leave folk alone. Don't open up Pandora's box for them. If I'm not willing to go all the way. And it takes resources to combat these issues. It does. You understand what I'm saying? And you got folk throwing money around here all the time on foolish stuff. Wasting money, man. I'm talking about the government now. I'm talking about government and everybody else and nonprofits and churches and what have you, the things that we waste money on. I say this in love, Pastor Waller. I ain't trying to hurt nobody's feeling, but the truth is a light. And look, we got a problem. We got a crime problem in urban America. Huh, Pastor?
Big time. It's a big time problem. But the key to the matter is that to recognize that talk is This is one of the cheapest things a person can do.
Yes, sir.
And that is to talk and sound good and be solution oriented in that talk.
Mm-hmm.
But if
mm-hmm.
it doesn't have substance to it, it's just cheap talk.
Oh.
But not to mention that it sounds very good when I say that. You know, it sounds very good. And that is what's going on a lot of times. And so it takes and it goes over the head of the ones who's seeking a way to escape. There are also
right.
people that don't want to do what they're doing.
No, they do. They really don't. They really don't.
And I'm just saying this to say, as much as it sounds like they're doing what they want to do, they're doing what they want to do, but still don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
For instance, let me give you a good example. Paul even said, you know, I'm going to let it be known that I am sold under sin.
Mm.
In other words, when you sold, if you go buy and purchase something with your
mm-hmm.
money, it belongs to you, do what you want to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So if sin purchased those people like it had me, I was sold under sin.
Mm.
So you know, even the things that I didn't want to do, I had to do it. You know why? Because I was sold under sin, meaning it had the power, authority over me. And this is what's going on with the new generation of kids that don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know the first time that kid was able to, what is it called, it carjack. The first
mm-hmm.
time he did that, he had to do it again to get to the 11.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he may have done more, you never know. It's just the thought of, it's always something about being lured into a situation
mm-hmm.
or an issue that's going to take you down a road that
right.
you have no clue of
right.
what you're doing. I mean, I admitted it. I admitted plenty of time. I go back and I look at it a lot of times myself. I said I didn't have a clue of what I was doing. it may seem like I did. And
right,
if you
right.
ask me, I knew what I was doing. But
you
man, when
did.
I looked at it, I said, man, you didn't know what you were doing, man. You standing out there on the corner. You understand what I'm saying? On the corner now, right on the corner. It was not no red light there then. It was a stop sign.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm there daily as if I was the stop sign.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I mean, that means that people was going by, the law was going by, seeing me still doing my thing, and I'm just saying I'm just as ignorant as I can be, but that's me talking about me, and I'm not ashamed to say I was ignorant, man.
Okay, okay.
You know, and Paul says it plain. He even admits, you know, the thing that he was doing, that he did it ignorantly.
Okay.
You know, but when he learned, sometimes it takes just learning to know that. And right now, for the youngsters, they have no
to teach
to come
them.
Out and go deeper
nothing.
Than the family. They go deeper than the father and the mother in the house, because they're going to go to school, they're going to go different places, and they're going to be amongst friends and
mm-hmm.
things like that. And their peers sometimes, you know, is drawing them. And it's more excitement out there than it is at home, man.
Wow.
And so it's the time has come where you got to make righteousness become exciting.
Absolutely.
You really got to become exciting, man. Because become exciting, I mean, they'll get with it.
Yeah.
But the church that you was naming that was on every block, five or six of them on every block, some kind of way.
Or more.
If
or more.
It would make it exciting, man, I bet you that when they leave out them buildings, they'll be more powerful than the world.
Mm.
But when they leave out the building now, getting with the world, man, because they're missing.
Yeah.
They're missing
yeah.
something. Either they're not being fed properly in there, you know, and as I said, I'm just grateful to know that I have compassion, because if I was without compassion, I'd be pointing my thing at them and saying, you know, you weren't supposed to be, you're not supposed to be doing it. What you thinking about?
Right.
And that right there would be a hypocritical move right there when I say, look what you was doing out there. I'm talking about you. And then I said, man, all this stuff I was doing, man, I know good what I didn't know what I was doing. They don't know what they're doing. You understand?
Yeah.
And somebody might say, yes, they do. Yes, they do know what they're doing. If you get in a trap and the enemy got control of you, you're going to do what he says. I'm talking about me, man.
That's typically how traps operate. And if you knew it was a trap, and you probably wouldn't be in it, but traps exploit ignorance. You know, the trap maker exploits the captured
ignorance. Man,
that thing had me going, man.
I'm talking about had me doing all this stuff I was doing, man. I think about that sometimes. I said, man, WWE like that.
It is what it is. And really we're talking about in reflection here in 2021, Pastor Wallace and St. Louis and the rest of the listening audience. We're talking about something that's been a long time ago since you've done it. Here we are now, and you still got people, this is their core reality. I'm not demeaning them to say that they're bad people inherently, but this is the core reality that they're living. The core life experience in a trap type situation. Now, somebody need to help me understand how in the devil does a child have the time, the opportunity to do anything if they're properly they're under proper authority. Let me take a second. You listen to Talk Straight. We're talking from the topic, the cure to urban American crime, 657-383-0944. Facebook, go ahead and give me a call. Holler at me. Yeah, I appreciate you guys looking. Jump in here. Get in where you fit in. We on with St. Louis and got our co-host, Pastor Wallen. Brothers just tuning in with us from 678 there. We appreciate them. But listen, I want to pose this question to you all, because this is a very serious thing. St. Louis, and I know you've often said that people have got to want change. I agree with that, St. Louis. I agree with that. Here's my question, though. I'm talking about somebody that's 45 years old now, St. Louis. 45 years old. They are operating on the social, emotional, and functional level of a 10-year-old. How do you expect them, St. Louis, to follow the rules and guidelines of an orderly society? I know I just said something right there, but I want you to help me with this just for a second. Because some people would argue that they got liberty, they got rights, and they should be able to go and come and do whatever they want to. We're talking about a 45-year-old who processed life and functions psychologically, emotionally, on the level of a 10-year-old. Help me with that, St. Louis.
Well, it's not going to happen.
Okay.
And those that expect it to happen, something's wrong with them.
But you know that's the supposition of the law, right? Because we got a law, you're going to follow the law. And when you don't, then we're going to jump on you and lock you up. But something is wrong. You're 45 and don't have a clue, man. I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
Well, that's another problem. See, some parents... Well, it's that old cliche. These males make babies, but only men can raise them to be men.
Wow. Okay, you said something now.
And then the female has a responsibility of that, too. The female have not been taught, have not been well educated and instructed on how to identify a well-worthy male, she has no business, I think, of laying down in bed with her, going through the process of producing another life.
I see. Interesting. But you know, historically, though, St. Louis, the last thing folk think about in general when they go to have fun in intimate physical intimacy, the last thing they think about is responsibility, man, and taking care of life. That's the afterthought usually.
Well, you wouldn't jump into the ocean to have fun playing in the water if you see dorsal fins floating around out there beyond you. Because that's a sign of sharks, which is danger.
Correct.
Well, the same thing should apply in this instance, too. Laying down, going through the process of producing a child is very dangerous and is very encumbering on other people who really didn't participate in the joy you had.
Right. That's interesting you say that, St. Louis, because we're going to Black Law Dictionary again. And Henry Black defines the juvenile court as a paternal institution. And I ask myself, why does he describe it as a paternal? Because the juvenile court recognizes that there is the lack of a paternal voice of authority in a child that is a delinquent or a status offender. And the court serves as that authority for that child legally. Now, a lot of times, go ahead, Samuel.
Well, yes, what you see there is that the court has to protect the innocence of the child.
Correct, that's right.
The innocence of the child, that child is a U.S. citizen in this case, and it
right.
should be afforded all due process.
Correct.
And if that process is not coming from its natural parents or guardians, then the court must step in and apply those things themselves.
Absolutely. That's where I want to take you, St. Louis. So isn't that the role of a father to be the judge, the jury, and the executor? Talk to me, St. Louis. Because, see, that's all the court
well,
is doing. That's all the court
it
is doing.
It should. Okay. You're absolutely right. Well, see,
okay.
there's a lot of things going on here. And there's a lot of deviant minds at work, just like you had the candidate for governor there in Virginia.
Okay.
When he made McAuliffe, when he made the statement that he's sick and tired of parents telling school districts, school boards on about raising and teaching their kids.
Sure.
Now, that there is a person of higher authority that's supposed to be well-respected and supposed to gain the trust of the public.
Okay,
and he's demonstrated what's going on in his deviant mind. People
yeah,
should immediately reject him and kick mm-hmm. him out.
Okay. It'd be the same if it were me, right? If you're telling the parents that they have no authority. See, first of all, this wasn't something that the Constitution gave you authority. I'm convinced, and I would argue all day long, that this is the divine right and authority that you have to be the voice.
You are
authority.
Absolutely right.
I mean, you know,
in every life form, the divine right is that of the parents over
absolutely.
The child. Not
That's
no
correct.
Principal, not a superintendent. It's the
well, now,
parents who has that divine right.
Let me explain in the educational system how principals have the assumed authority. It's a legal term called in locos parentis. And it means in the place of the parent. When you take your child to a school setting, and you know, we have, most states have compulsory school attendance laws that says you have to be there until a certain age, right? Well, when you take them there, the expectation is that the principal, the teachers, and everybody else are going to treat you and secure you just like that parent would. That don't mean you cut the parent out. That don't mean the parent don't have a voice in what you're doing with your child while they're there. And that's where a lot of people, they get this Latin phrase, in locos parentis, is talking about in place of the parent. Now, the truth of the matter is, St. Louis, there are a lot of parents, I'm going to put we're talking straight tonight now. It's a lot of people who are in the role of parent or position of parent who are not doing as good a job as they need to. Now, you don't know how. Somebody like Dockery is here to help you. But if you don't, what you do is set your child up for what? Adjunct failure. It ain't the baby's fault. Don't blame the baby.
Well, you know, one of the rules that the courts are hand down is that the parents go through those necessary development programs
That's
like
right.
Dockery
yes,
that
sir.
Will put them on right cue because they are totally miscue as it stands.
That's true. And let me be clear, St. Louis. I'm not saying that to down anybody, and I'm not putting no color, no name, no nothing. I'm just describing behavior right now. See, I'm just talking about behavior right now because this is what's affecting these babies.
Well, see, all that's part of the due process that child by law has coming to them. he's a U.S. citizen, for one. And then we can take it to another level. He's a human being.
Right.
You know, the greater force, that force that many say created the universe.
Watch
that
out,
child
man.
Was
Watch
born with all the rights, all the privileges that that universe bestow upon them. No That's one has a right to take it away. So that superintendent or that principal, he or she was given their executive authority over their child by the parents themselves. The parents trusted him with that authority over their children.
Right. That's correct. That's correct. St. Louis, I got a caller here, 917-1327. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Doc Reed. We got our good friend on from St. Louis and our co-host, Pastor Waller. Welcome to a discussion. We're talking about cure to urban American crime. Would you like to comment now or do you have a question? Okay, looks like we lost them there. Perhaps they'll call us back there. 657-383-0944. Feel free to call us. I'm unbiased here. I'd love to hear what you have to say because what I'm saying is at the end of the day, we got a problem. We got a problem. And clearly, if we got babies around here, oh, man, with guns, carjacking people. I said this earlier, St. Louis. I don't know if you heard that. I was talking to Pastor Waller. I was so happy to hear they caught the boy for somebody to kill him. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, because that's what's likely going to happen. On that path he was going, you're going to run up on the wrong one. You're going to run up and get done up. That's the phrase in the street. And I'm glad that at least hopefully they can get him the help he needs. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, somebody has been persuasive to their child.
Absolutely.
11-year-old just don't wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to carjack somebody. He had to be formed into that thinking. He had to be formed in that type of behavior. And more likely, it was by some knucklehead adult.
What do we do when we catch that person or persons that put them out there like that?
Well, I'd rather not say in this venue.
Okay. All right. Me too. Me either. I'm going to start praying, and then I'm going to, I'll be pulling my belt off the same time I'm praying. But you see what the problem is? See, we don't want to be
Yes, I see what the problem is.
Okay.
But like Fannie Lou Hamer said, you can stay on your knees and pray until you faint.
Watch it now. I'm tired of being sick and tired. That's what she said. I'm tired of being sick and tired. Well, I mean, here's the thing. Some people want to they couch it in the words of race and things of that nature. At the end of the day, don't nobody care about that because if we're not solving these problems, they just fester and they replicate.
Hey,
okay, good caller. Welcome to Talk Straight there.
Hey.
Thank you. Would you like to join in on this question or comment?
Yeah, just wanted to comment that America is a violent nation.
Okay,
so has England been, et cetera, France.
Okay.
They have gotten their wealth, and Saudi Arabia, and before that it was called Arabia, before the House of Saud took over. But they got their power through violence.
Okay.
It's very difficult to stop individuals who cross the line when the parent, the nation is violent. So I often argue that in order to fix the individual, what we would need to fix is the core problem. It's almost like being on a train that's, on fire, and we expect the people on the train not to be on fire. So not that I can excuse all of the violence that some of our young people are doing, but, the movie, the mumble rap, the examples they see, I just happened, and some of us, I'm sure Bianchi feels the same way, decided to take a less violent route. But I can totally see why some young people will say, F it, the nation is violent. There aren't many opportunities in the black community. I think Bianchi won't agree with that, but there aren't even enough opportunities for white people in the employment world.
Interesting.
Because if there were full employment, the whole capitalistic system would have problems. So there's built-in inherent space for unemployment and underemployment in order to keep the capitalistic system going. Yeah. So we're going to continue to have crime in our community until we fix the white establishment's root violence, well, and ignorance and racism.
No, I take your point. I think you make a very, very strong point here. But watch this, though. Watch this. Even, let's say, let's take your premise of a white establishment, right, that's promoting, and it is funding the examples, that the negative examples young people see. You just look at Hollywood. You know, look at the social media, right? And that's on. But my point is, what if parents decided that my child is not going to watch certain movies or certain media because I don't want them exposed to that? You follow what I'm saying, Carla?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Isn't that a power that's inherent in that family? And I see, I'm gonna keep pushing it. See, I know that there are a lot of barriers to a lot of good dads that want to be active in their children. Like, I get that, but one of the things we have to focus on is making sure that even with policy, resources, and everything, providing the opportunities for responsible fatherhood in the life of their children. Even if you don't live in the household with them, you need to be actively engaged in their growth and development. What say you to that, caller?
Yeah, I think if that were the only variable in how a child learns, you would be totally correct. And I know people, and I'm sure you all do, who had great parents who came up in, you know, supposedly affluent communities who became thugs and gangsters. And I say to them, why did you choose that route? And they say, because it was cool. It was sexy. Okay. You got the women. Okay. The women didn't want the geeks in the squares. You got to have fun. No, I'm serious. Now
I'm
a grandparent. Yeah. So if it were only up to us as parents, fathers, et cetera, yes, that would be highly feasible. But then the children go out and see the movies. We can't keep them under lock and key 24 hours a day. They have their friends in school. They're on the cell phone. They're on the internet. And all around them, the music companies are promoting mumble rap that says sling the drug, slap a hoe, and do this and that. Meanwhile, white executives and owners behind the scenes are playing golf. They're not wearing the backwards caps and talking foolishness. So, yeah, I think it's tougher than just us. But we should do our part. But the world is different.
I'll say this to you, I appreciate where you're coming from. Just one little, I'd like to lean in with you on this. As a father of two children myself, I happen to know how you can avoid that. And it does not have to be the reality, right? But the truth of the matter is, at an early age, I mean when they knee-high to a duck booty hole, that's when you need to be planting the right seed. And that's a cultural thing. I agree with your earlier premise that in this nation that we live in called the United States of America, it started on violence. And it continues itself on the threat. They want Joe Biden right now to tell Putin, I'm going to shoot you out the water if you go on to Ukraine. Again, everything is on the pretext of some sort of violence, right? Ruling by fiat of authority with violence, threat. I get what you're saying. And when babies see that, maybe they can't articulate it, gentlemen, like we are tonight, but they see it. And this is an unfortunate reality. When they pick up a gun, it becomes their authority, their power in the streets. And they feel like, hey, I can, you know, everybody's going to be scared of me. I get whatever I want. So, Carla, I take what you're saying. It's not just a one-facet issue. There are a number. And I think St. Louis said that earlier. There are a number of variables that have to be looked at. But I just want to focus on, as a culture, as a society, if we focus more on revitalizing the institution of family, the fathers can be that judge. They can be that court. They can be the police in the life of their children. Anybody want to come into that?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. And I know you have other callers. I'll be brief, and I know Bianchi has a lot to
say.
No,
you
hope you're doing well, Bianchi. There's another variable that we often don't factor in, and it's the alternatives. I'll give you an example. I went through high school, did really well, was the top in so many subjects, but never got surrounded with the right adults in the school who said, hey, you're doing well in X, Y, and Z. Did well in college, same thing. Did well in various sectors, didn't tend to find the support. And that's me, right? Imagine other children. So where are the alternatives where a child like me who at a young age had drama in the home but who got into positive but didn't have the mentor groups, didn't have the youth groups that had
Great.
Structure. And I'm not religious, so what happened was not being tied to Catholic or Baptist or Jehovah's Witness or Mormon or whatever, or Nation of Islam, I was out of the loop. So where is that network to get kids who are just good kids? They don't want to say necessarily, hey, man, I'm Muslim or I'm Sunni Shia or I'm Anglican. But I do well at chess or I do well in math. Can I get some help? And so I think if we just think that the good fathers alone, without the support of a community program to get these kids and say, look, you know, So
I get what you're saying. But let me ask you this. If the father provided the environment and control the environment in the community, does that not satisfy that? I mean, I'm just asking, in your view.
Well, for some of the former gangsters, I know it didn't. And they had a mother and father. They had nice homes, nice cars. Parents had stable jobs. They were all doing, you know, what society would consider cool stuff. And the kids went out, got guns, and, you know, did craziness. So there's something missing. And society tells our men they have to be very macho. They have to be hard. And how do you survive on the plantation hundreds of years ago? How do you survive today if you come off soft in a community where hardness is the thing? Softness is, you know, it's very complex.
No, I wish we had more time because I get what you're saying. And I actually wrote a workbook about that, understanding the male psyche and the male drive and so forth and so on, addressing those very issues that you bring up. So that's a legitimate point that you're making. I want to recognize that. But and I would agree with you that to say that it's only one thing, I don't want to do that. However, I do know that that's a major component, because I would argue that at the end of the day, when all is said and done, when that father controls and shapes the character of their child, that's what everybody's going to see. And yes, you got a lot of influences out there, but I believe what the word said, train up a child in the way. And what I hold on to is there's a way that child should go. When they get old, they won't turn from it. Will they not face challenges? Will they not be tempted? Will they not be tried? No, I'm not saying they won't. But guess what they'll be able to rely on? The training, everything you put in that backpack from birth up to their independence. So,
too, it takes fathers are supposed to maintain that community, that environment that their children are raised up in.
Absolutely.
There's a movie, you can see it on YouTube. It's called Athens, Georgia. A very, very good movie. And it talks about the corruption that was going on and how that town of people rose up to handle the corruption when they couldn't depend on the law.
Interesting. Okay. Athens, Georgia. I'm going to have to check that out, St. Louis. I'm going to check that out. Okay. Pastor, what do you say about that, man? Pastor Waller has a unique approach to this because he lived for a long time the life of the people that everybody castigated on the peripheries of society as troublemakers and hoodlum thugs and drug dealers and what have you. But he has a very unique perspective on how to get young folk to understand that that was a trap. That was a messed up situation. And to your point, there are a lot of negative influences out that are readily available to them. But Pastor, do you mind commenting on that for me?
Yeah, I like what the brother said. I was talking about it earlier, you know, about, you know, I wrote something in my book that has to do with the people that was living and had the father and the mother in their household, mm-hmm. living very good, didn't need nothing mm-hmm. to do with the slums of the city.
Right.
But they couldn't wait to get themselves to that point where they were involved, you know, uh-huh. because they heard so much was going on. It was so attractive and things like that. And that's how one can be lured in. So sometimes you don't have nothing to do with the mother and the father. Sometimes it has to do with just the mother have trained up the child and done the best that they could, and the child came out to be really successful and things like that. And so it goes like this. Now, in my case, we talked about a person, you said it earlier, Pastor Doc, about a person being 45 years of age, or the brother said something about somebody being 45 years of age, but yet still was thinking like a child. Didn't know how to break a bad habit. You know, these some out there are older than 45. And so when they're demonstrating something that has to do with the power of the trap, it's one thing to utilize something that's really plain.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know that most of us have heard about a mouse trap. You know, with the keys in the trap, that mouse gonna find a way most of the time to try to get the cheese out of the trap.
Sure.
You know, and so when you put something out in the community amongst young people who have no sense of direction, out there having fun, just innocent as they can be, and suddenly, I'm talking about me now, I'm playing with a basketball in the yard. You know how I am about a basketball. You know how dedicated I was with the basketball, as I shared with you all about when I was a kid. But yet still, I still couldn't escape the power of what I seen, and I became curious of what were they talking about.
Right.
I don't know, but it just looked like they're having fun. And suddenly, I became the very people that I saw, man. And then I started running the whole community in my come up, you know, doing things like, hey, man, I got it going on without even saying it. Now, I'm leading everything out there.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm going into the trap, I'm going into the ditch, and everybody that followed me went into the ditch also.
Mm-hmm.
But here come the good part. Thank God for the solution, because there is a flip side. Yes, and there is a solution. Yes, but it's all about taking it to the streets.
Yeah.
If it's not being revealed in those areas, those kids are going to do their own thing, which is what they're supposed to do.
Sure.
Doesn't take away from the solution, though. It doesn't take away from the solution, because there is a solution, and change is possible. And I'll say this because I just got excited. Some people may not believe that it can never change, but let me tell you about what Luke chapter 1, verse 37, and what it says. It says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. So if you say nothing shall be impossible, it's not impossible to turn this thing around, and then all that what the enemy meant for bad, amen, God can get some good out of it, man, if the people just come out of them buildings, brother, because they got to look here, they got the word up in there. They don't have to be, and I love the way this brother put it out there. You name all those different denominations.
Right.
I'm not big on any of them, because I just know that I have to be a good example when I go into the streets.
Sure.
You know, I couldn't go and pretend like I haven't been into nothing. I have to accept that I got to use that as a footstool to go out there and help some people and let them know that, I've written two books for a purpose, to help you understand that I used to love to get high.
Okay.
And I loved it so much that God gave me an understanding that now you have a book entitled Still High, which means it's no longer getting high now. These kids can stay high. Once they learn that, man, that they can stay high and don't have to get high, all that the enemy has put before them right now, they can flip it over, man, and get on the flip side, and they can be wondering, what happened? Why? Wait a minute, hold it. Why these kids are not off into that and the drugs and this and that, where they found the solution? Somebody took it to the streets, man. Let them come out of them buildings and watch what happens. They'll never know, Pastor Dollar. They'll never know unless they come out.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I was going to go back to a caller there in 917. He did establish a credible consideration there. Now, but I'm going to say, I'll say this. The answer is not necessarily an organized religion, as it is an understanding. That's right. And I think that's his premise. I don't want to speak for him, but I think that's his main premise.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Okay.
Can I tell you, I've lived in many countries like some of you, and I know Pianki has been around the world. Every nation has a religion, and sometimes it's Islam, sometimes it's Sunni Islam. So where we're born typically determines our religion. So for black people, the religions we have typically gotten have come from the people that have enslaved us. Elohim actually means God, plural. So when the Bible says, let us make man, and God said, that God is plural, but my mother taught me that the God was singular. It wasn't until I became older that I started to learn more from talking to rabbis about the actual Hebrew scriptures that said, well, actually, what's in Christianity isn't always accurate in Hebrew. So how is the father better than the worse than the child? The father is the Hebrew, and the Hebrew was from Egypt and Ethiopia. Akhenaten, King Tut's father, was the biblical Moses, person that wrote about monotheism.
I get you, brother. We can't go there tonight. We just got 18 more minutes. You about to drop it like it's hot.
Quick tip. If you're putting out a book, get your ISBN number and your EAN5 number, because if you don't, it's hard to track the sales, and the system will keep a lot of your money.
Okay.
ISBN and EAN5. You need both of them.
Yes, sir. I'm very much familiar with that. But, no, I hear what you're saying. Now, here's what I would like to kind of direct the last few minutes of our conversation. Great conversation, gentlemen. Great conversation. At the end of the day, it does not matter what your ethnicity is. It does not matter what your religious orientation is. Really don't have matter how much money you got. I know St. Louis and Pastor Wallace heard me make reference to a 6x6 dark room where individuals are in there and they're forced to face certain realities, right? Because the room blocks you in and the darkness is there and you've got to bring light to the situation. The one that is able to see beyond the darkness and the circumstances is the one that will come out in light. Now, what we see in urban American streets all over this nation is a situation, as the brother alluded to, where something has been socially engineered, certain behaviors, interest in certain behaviors have been socially engineered such that not just babies, but grown folk are modeling it for babies. If we're going to be honest about this, brother, that's what we need to acknowledge. What about it, St. Louis? I hear you.
Well, babies learn it from the grown folks is where
Absolutely.
The chain results. I mean, it happens in all forms of life. First human has learned from nature, watching nature in animals, insects, birds, and the weather, and they applied what they seen to their own behavior and habits to form what they end up being. People didn't come up with laws, religious laws, thou shalt not, if they didn't actually experience those things in life. But, you know, young people at some point realize that something is wrong, and they try to make those adjustments in order to try to straighten things out. And, you know, I often talk about Demetrius Johnson at St. Louis and his foundation, programs he put on. He don't have to do it. He's a former football player, played for the Detroit Lions. He doesn't have to do it, but he does do it. And one day I was in his building, standing there at the reception desk, and it was a day outside where it was about 2 feet of snow. Everything shut down, buses, cars, streets, so on, so on, so on.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, the door opened. See, he had a program there that was sponsored by a painting company, T.J. Weiss, where they were bringing in young men and letting them work at the basis of the trade to fix up his building.
Wow.
And as the door opened, what popped through the door was a bicycle, front wheel, and soon the rest of the bicycle.
Uh-huh.
And the front wheel was packed in snow.
Huh.
And this young black man stomped his feet, brushed his clothes off, and now he's there.
Wow.
He said to himself that no matter what the conditions are, I'm going to be there. Because what's going on there is benefiting me in my life.
Exactly.
He went on to graduate from the program. And the company got him a job out in St. Charles County. Well, he had no transportation to get out there. But the company paid for the cab to pick him up at his house, bring him to the job, and take him home. And that went on until he was able to buy a car. This is a white company, by the way. And this is a black man that was going through the experience.
Wow. That's what I'm talking about, St. Louis. It's examples like that. So it's not that there aren't things that can be done. It's not that there aren't mitigations that can be brought to bear. You got to have the will to do it. And I'm looking as a nonprofit owner and a for-profit business owner. I see people wasting money, government money, private money every day on things they know darn well is not going to address the problem. I mean, gentlemen, if y'all ever see me sprawl out in the street and they take me in the emergency room and I got a gunshot wound to my head and you see them playing with my toes, get me out of there. Take me somewhere where they go fix the problem. Because I don't want to know, you understand what I'm saying, 917? Don't play games with me now. If you don't care, if you ain't interested, then keep it moving. But there are some real serious issues that, and look, everybody have to come to reality. You know, I hear people say all the time, you know, black people got to help themselves. Well, yes, that's true. But guess what? There are a lot of barriers and factors that play into maybe not you, but folk who are considered to be white that you need to consider because they are part of the trap that we've been talking about. Brother, you intentionally a part of it or not? I mean,
yes.
You're part
Can
of
Can I quickly add, there's yes, an sir. Additional factor. They are leaders
ahead.
And followers. In all tribes, cultures, and nations, the majority
mm-hmm.
of people are followers. It's not meant to be disrespectful. It's just how people are programmed and how
That's
they
true.
Are brought up. A lot of times we're expecting all black people to be leaders, to walk 50 miles and to have all the solutions. There are very few leaders.
Right.
So since most people are followers, they're not going to walk 100 miles to get a job and to study, and they're not going to turn down the negatives that they see marketed to them by billion-dollar corporations. They're going to fall prey. The few leaders, like some of us, most of us on the line, are the ones that will make it through no matter what. You drop us in any nation on the planet, everyone here is going to be a leader. But that's not everyone. So most of the listeners, unfortunately, are not in that category, and they need someone that is leading in the church, in the mosque, on the street, in the company,
right.
to lead them the right way. Our problem is most of our black leaders are actually, I think, sellouts who compromise our community.
Uh-oh.
Therefore, the people are sheep Uh-oh. For the slaughter, and people like us that are the real leaders don't get the
wow.
exposure on the major media because the major media wants the pimps and the coons.
Wow.
So
well, you know, many of the times. See, that leadership starts with you and your family. That's where the leadership starts.
Okay.
And society shouldn't be assigned leaders. Society should pick their leaders. And what they know to look for in a good leader that they pick is based on what they themselves demonstrated with their family. That's the way it usually starts.
Like
you ever watch Birds in a Nest? You ever watch Baby Birds in a Nest?
Yes, sir, I have.
That mother
yes,
bird have fed them until they grew and they feathered it out.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, she'll stand on the side of that nest and just holler at them kids. Holler, holler, holler. Telling them
Abandon
to get up
them.
And fly.
Abandon
get up
them.
And fly. I'll see you later, Ruben.
All right. We appreciate you, sir. We appreciate you. Well, listen, gentlemen, great conversation. And we've been talking about the cure. If you want to do something, I'm convinced, caller and Pastor Waller, people do what they want to do. You know, you just got to ask yourself, who is it that's in the mix and what their real interest is? Let's do this. Caller, thank you for joining us tonight. We appreciate you. You have a final thought that you'd like to share with us before we bring our episode to
a
close?
I'm attending an event online. It's free. The Big Black Conference 2021. People can email bigblackconference@gmail.com, and they have a committee where a lot of the problems are going to be discussed, and we have international reps that are coming down, a few celebrities just to add some star notoriety. But my real closing point is that we have to know who we are. So if as an individual I don't know that I'm a male or my height or my skin tone, I'm lost. Well, for black, brown people, we really don't know who we are. We've been given labels by other groups that take advantage of us, use our pain and death and civil rights and human rights to market their own agendas. but put us as the person on the poster. And then at the end, we say, how come that group always getting more rights? Well, because they're using us.
Okay.
So that's who are we? Before coming to America as slaves, who were we? And some of us were already here as Native Indians that had crossed the Bering Strait. So if each individual could know who they are, do more research about their African culture and heritage, not that you don't be proud of some aspects of America, but know your history, just like Irish American, just like Indian Americans, just like Italian Americans, everyone else, they have their culture. They march around with their flag, but I don't see us marching with the Nigerian flag, the Guyana flag, because some of us have the Caribbean roots. We tend to be very Americanized, and America just rapes, exploits us and puts a few people in positions to make the big money, and the rest of us are the sheep. Thanks for your time. I'll keep listening.
No, thank you, sir. We appreciate you. Thanks for joining us, ma'am. Okay.
Thank you.
Well,
thanks, sir.
All right. Have a good one. All right, Pastor Waller, you wrap that up, man. Wrap that up, big brother.
Hey,
wrap
man.
That up.
Yeah, man. It's been a great discussion tonight.
It has.
You know, the main thing about the power of words, you know, the Bible, is which, you know, something that I deal with today, and I'm grateful that I did get a chance to learn a little something, man, you know, while being captured and able to make me free. That's why it's good to find something that works for you. And what sometimes I used to hear in the street, what's good for you might be bad for me. What's right for you might be wrong for me.
Right.
You know, and it's why I say some people take two steps, some people take three.
Mm-hmm.
What's sweet to you may be too sweet for me. And that's why everybody's looking for the answer. You understand? So in other words, when you're looking for the answer, you find the answer, you get the answer, you embrace the answer. It's time to apply it. And that's why I know that I appreciate what he says, life and death is in the power of the tongue.
That's right.
Why it's good to speak life. And once we start speaking life, no matter where you came from, you all on the one accord, as the word does say. I'm going to say this, Pastor Doc, and I'm going to have to turn it back over to you.
Okay.
In all playing right. Paul. I remember everybody had a position to play.
Mm.
Everybody was on the team.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you plan to win, you have to understand the words. Say, well, there's two or three gathered together in his name.
That's where he's going.
That he said he would be in the midst of us. That's how you win. And I just want to let it be known that seek ye first kingdom of God and his righteousness.
And all
these things shall be added unto you. And I hear back to you on that note, Pastor Doctor.
All right. Well,
you got to put somebody first.
Yes, sir.
The great leader.
Yes,
the great knower. And know everything we stand in the need of. So we keep him first and follow him. Ain't no losing in that, brother.
No, you can't lose with that stuff. With that, you use
no,
that.
Not with the guy who know everything. Follow him.
All right. Man, great conversation, Pastor. We appreciate, you. And you've been listening to Talk Straight on this December 7th. And this is how we close on Talk Straight. We were talking from the topic, the cure, urban American crime. Two things I can think of that are part of that equation. Knowing God, and loving him, and loving yourself to love your family. All right, with that, we'll be back next Tuesday for another episode of Talk Straight, and we hope you are blessed until then.
Right.
Love.
Thank you.